I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, is illegal immigration one reason African Americans are suffering from higher than average unemployment? We will ask in just a few minutes. But first, news about the Congressional Black Caucus. The CBC, founded in 1971, bills itself as the conscience of the Congress. Now 42 members strong, it boasts powerful committee chairs among its members, the President of the United States among its former members. But the New York Times is also reporting that the CBC's clout extends to serious fundraising. The newspaper earlier this week reported that the Congressional Black Caucus and its foundation have raised at least $55 million between 2004 and 2008. The paper says that, quote, the bulk of the money has been spent on elaborate conventions that have become a high point of the Washington social season, as well as the headquarters building, golf outings by members of Congress, and an annual visit to a Mississippi casino resort. Joining us to talk more about this is Eric Lipton, domestic correspondent for the New York Times Washington Bureau. He's the co-author of the piece. Also with us for additional perspective is Pam Gentry, senior political analyst for BET. She's here with us in our D.C. studio. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just in case our listeners are wondering, we did reach out to the office of Congresswoman Barbara Lee. She's the CBC chair. She declined to comment. We also reached out to Congressman Donald Payne, the newly elected chair of the CBC Foundation. That's the group's philanthropic arm. And Eric, I hope you'll explain the difference between the two. He said he was unavailable to join us today, but he expressed some interest in speaking to us at a later time. So first, Eric, tell us, what's the difference between the Congressional Black Caucus and the Black Caucus Foundation?
Well, the Congress has a couple hundred different caucuses that represent all kinds of different interest groups. And the Congressional Black Caucus at its core is essentially a group of African-American members of Congress, black members of Congress who have a common interest in certain issues that have joined together to pursue their agenda. The Congressional Black Caucus Foundation is a nonprofit group which raises monies from donations and then has the programs that it uses that money for.
Well, so is there anything wrong with that?
No, I mean, no one has suggested anything illegal that the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation or any of the affiliates of the CBC are doing. The question that's been raised is that there are limitations as to how much money you can give as a contribution to an elected member of Congress, but there's no limit on how much a corporation or, you know, a political action committee or a lobbyist can give to the foundation and to the charity. And so they can give checks as high as $500,000 at a time, and perhaps through that contribution, influence the member of Congress.
How did the caucus respond to, or members of the caucus respond, when you sought comment from them about this? What did they say?
Well, Barbara Lee we spoke with, and she said that we as a caucus are not influenced in any way by the contributions that we get to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. We are unbought, essentially, was her point.
As we mentioned, we tried to get members of the caucus to participate in this conversation. They did not, but they sent a statement, which we'll also post on our website. It says that the Congressional Black Caucus has never controlled the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus do not and have never comprised a majority of the directors of the CBCF or the executive committee, and they say that the CBCF makes no expenditures that directly benefit any elected official, nor are its funds used to elect or defeat any political candidate. So that's what their perspective on that. What, do you have any comment about that?
That's true. I mean, the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, which is the biggest entity that, in terms of budget of the four different entities that the Congressional Black Caucus, it gets a little confusing, but that it operates. I mean, it is a legally distinct organization, but that the chairman of the board of the Congressional Black Caucus, Donald Payne, is a member of Congress, and it definitely is influenced by, you know, the direction of the members of Congress. Barbara Lee is quite active in the group. All the members are, you know, they're central to its operation. Their name is a part of its name, and they frequently have joint events. And when contributions are made to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, the director herself said this, they're made in an effort to influence members of Congress, and the companies that make those contributions know that they are giving to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. So there's clearly a relationship. They are legally distinct, though. That is correct.
But just finally, Eric, because I understand you have to catch a plane, so we're going to let you go. As you pointed out, there are hundreds of caucuses in Congress, a strong lobbyist presence on the Hill. There are former members of the caucus who are now lobbyists, as there are sort of former members of every other group that are now lobbyists and working for big companies. Is there something that the caucus is doing in this regard that is unusual?
But what distinguishes the Congressional Black Caucus is that there is no other organization, a club of members of Congress, that has an affiliated nonprofit that collects anywhere near the amount of money that the Congressional Black Caucus does from major corporations. There's an Hispanic caucus that has a foundation. It doesn't get anywhere near as much money. So the amount of money that is coming in corporate donations to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation is quite significant. So some see this as a way to circumvent the campaign finance laws. Now, it's true that the money is not used to benefit the political campaigns of individual caucus members, but it does promote their interest. The events they have or serve as a platform that promote the interest of the individual members at times. And the other, you know, issue that was raised as we worked on the story was that there are some who believe that they accept contributions from companies that have a vested interest in Washington that aren't necessarily consistent with the interest of the CBC itself, such as tobacco companies, alcohol companies, internet poker, rent-to-own companies. And that at times it appears that the contributions, as these interest groups make contributions, that they get the ear of the members of Congress and sometimes even their votes.
Is that, and that would have to be the final question, is there any evidence that these contributions affect their representation of their constituents in a manner that is inconsistent with the stated interests of their constituents? Is there any evidence that these contributions have affected their representation?
I mean, the one case that we focused on the most in the story was the rent-to-own industry. And, for example, Maxine Waters had been quite adamant in seeking regulation a number of years back that would restrict them, but now the rent-to-own industry has been making contributions to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation at the individual charities of CBC members, and it has gotten 13, I think it is, members of the CBC to co-sponsor legislation that would protect the industry, essentially. And so it appears as if they've won some votes. Danny Davis first supported Maxine Waters' proposal. Now he's on the industry side, and he's a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. They'd make contributions to a job training center that's named after him. So in that case, it looks like it may have had an effect.
Eric Lifton is domestic correspondent for the New York Times in the Washington Bureau. We will have a link to the piece that he wrote so you can read it in its entirety. He was kind enough to join us on the phone as he's rushing to catch a plane. Eric, we thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
For additional perspective, we want to turn now to Pam Gentry. She's senior political analyst for BET, Black Entertainment Television. She's here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. Pam Gentry, I know that the piece is just out, but have you had a chance to talk to members of the caucus? How are they responding to this attention?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. And they're getting very accustomed to the attention because what has happened is that the shift has come to them because they are in positions of power. I mean, right now they hold some of the top chairmanships in the Congress. And what really intrigues me about this story is that the fact that they're getting this attention is because now they are getting this money. There are other members of Congress who've gotten this type of money and have had these kinds of relationships, whether it was through a foundation that was separate, a separate entity from them as an individual, or even foundations that were named after them. You know, lobbyists lobby and lobbyists give money, and this is the way Washington works. He made a very good point that they're not doing anything wrong and they haven't done anything illegal and they're not doing anything other members aren't doing. What they are doing, though, is that they are an organized group of 41, sometimes 42 mm-hmm. members that have I don't want to say a block vote, because to be honest, they don't all agree on anything. I mean, I really think it's interesting that a connection can be made that you can get all of the Congressional Black Caucus to agree on one particular issue, and that if you give money to, quote, the foundation, it will influence their vote. I don't really see that. But they're not happy about this interpretation because their main issue from the foundation are their scholarship programs, their internships, and their fellowships. If those don't happen, there will be fewer African Americans to ever see the light of day in Washington, D.C.
The point that the piece makes, though, is that they spend more on catering for their legislative weekend than they spend on any of these scholarship programs. Now, in their statement to us, their spokesperson, which, as again, we'll have it on our website, their spokesperson says that the catering number, which is some $700,000, covers, you know, myriad events over the course of the weekend, you know, coffees, a dinner. It's a number of events throughout the weekend where food is offered. But the argument that the piece makes is that the amount of money that they spend on scholarships is actually rather modest given how much money that they're raising.
They're showing in their annual report, I think, of 2008, that they hit about $650,000 in either scholarships, fellowships, or internships. They paid for the students to come to Washington. They give them room and board, health insurance, and a stipend. Now, that's important simply because the opportunities for African Americans to come and work on Capitol Hill, usually coming from their districts, are not coming from families who can afford for their children to come here and volunteer in those positions.
I mean, I don't understand that, but, so, but they're saying that they spent $650,000.
And I think
in
the catering
year,
bill was like $700,000.
$700,000, right. But they're also saying that between 2004 and 2008, they raised $55 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like a rather paltry amount. I think that's the implication.
You know, I think that when you look at how the money is being parceled, that anyone could deem some criticism of that. I'm not sure exactly how much of it was going for instance, that they talked about the golf events and things like that. I think those were actually part of CBC, maybe, sorry.
And retiring the mortgage, and retiring the mortgage on their mm-hmm. building. You can argue whether that's an important expenditure or not. I'm sure people will have different views on mm-hmm. that. I think the other dissonance here is that, and this is an argument that African Americans on the progressive left have argued, that the CBC is in fact misnamed, that they are right now an all-Democratic caucus, that they really don't have a distinct identity in terms of responding to the needs of African Americans per se.
I don't think that's a fair criticism. I'm sure they would probably not agree. And the reason is, right now, they're probably the biggest voice in town for that community.
So, Pam, overall, you're saying in part this is part of the growing pains?
There's two things. It's the growing pains of having influence. It's the growing pains of having the power and having these positions, that they are now of value to these lobbying parties. And so they're coming forward to say, we want your ear. We want to pay attention to you. You have to realize, when they started, there were 20 members and over 400 members in Congress, they weren't probably that important. But I mean, now they're up to 42. Those are 42 votes. If you're a lobbying organization, one or two can make a difference. And so here's a group of people that are elected officials that they are trying to go after.
Pamela Gentry is a senior political analyst for BET. She was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Previously, we were joined by Eric Lipton. He's a domestic correspondent for the New York Times Washington Bureau. He's co-author of the piece published by the New York Times that examines the fundraising by the Congressional Black Caucus and the CBC Foundation. He joined us by phone. We'll have a link to the piece itself and the response that a spokesperson for the CBC Foundation gave us. We'll have all of that on our website. Just go to npr.org, click on programs, then on Tell Me More. Pam, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.